Good to see everybody here today. And if you're our guest, thank you for being here today to our services. And we've been in this series called O Beginning, New Beginnings. And today we're going to talk about faithful and good times and bad times. And each week what we've done is we have taken a character out of the book of Genesis and we have examined that life. And some of the characters have maybe a paragraph about them, like we covered the story of Cain and Abel. There was only probably about 20 verses total about the episode where Cain slew Abel. And as we get near the end with Joseph, it covers about a good 9 or 10 chapters. But the story we're going to look at today is Abraham. And let me kind of give you background. Most of you probably know this. But Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. He is the father also of the Arab nation. And Abraham was selected by God to begin the generations of the Jewish people and to have the heritage of being the father of the Hebrew people. And God had come to him and told him, and we're going to read in a second, that he wanted him to be this individual and to leave where he was in the area of Iraq, and to travel modern-day Iraq, and to travel over to the Promised Land, and he would set up his roots there and stuff, and that he would give him a son, and the offspring would obviously be the people that would be God's chosen people, as we refer to it today. Obviously, he traveled there, and he waited for the opportunity for his wife, Sarah, to have a child. It wasn't going to happen, and so he had relationships with his handmaiden and gave birth to a son named Ishmael. She was of the Arab descent, the Palestinian descent, and that nation grew, and God also talked about the blessings of that nation. But then eventually him and his wife Sarah had a child named Isaac. And to this day, in modern day, all the tension in the Middle East comes down to that situation. The children, the lineage of Isaac and the lineage of Ishmael. And all see their roots going back to Abraham. That's why when you talk about the land, the Holy Land, and the big debate about who should occupy the Holy Land and the places there, and the Palestinians say that we have rights to it, and the Jewish nation says it was given to us by God, which is the true thing, because that was given to them by God. But you understand the tension has some reality to it, and out of fairness, both lineages come from this one individual, Abraham being the father of both nations. And so that's why that tension is never easily resolved. When people have talked, and I've grown up watching presidents, I remember when Jimmy Carter had the compact between Israel and the Arab nation out of Egypt, and I remember when Arafat, but it was another one that was assassinated because of that agreement. And every president sent is always trying to work out a peace agreement with the Middle East. And if you know anything, we talked about prophecy in September, there's never going to come a time with peace in the Middle East. A cessation of hostilities would be good, but that peace is going to last until the Lord comes back because the tensions have been there since Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And so that's there. So, but the story of Isaac and the story of Abraham is unique because Isaac being the lineage for the Hebrew people, and it all started with Abraham. And Abraham was given some test of faith to be able for God to see what he was made of, but also in the histories ahead, some 6,000 or some 5,000 years later, for us to examine what faith is all about. And that's why we call this faithful in good times and bad times. And we're not going to be able to read every passage because it would be 9 or 10 or 12 chapters. But we're going to start off with the beginning of God's promise to Abraham, and then we're going to talk about one particular story that God tested to see how he would be faithful. So let's begin reading in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 9, and it's on the screens for you today. The Lord said to Abram, at that time his name was Abram, it was changed eventually to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of earth will be blessed through you. And that's why you hear sometimes, even in the political world today, people say, are we on the side of Israel? And many of us that believe in the theology of this believe that we stand with the state of Israel. Do we always agree with the actions of a group? The answer is no. But we do stand for their existence. After 70 AD, they were dispersed from Israel, and it was 1948. They got their land back, and we've always believed that that land and their heritage is theirs. And we support Israel, not against any foe, not against Palestinians, nothing to do with ignoring the Arab people. I think they are great people that have to have their rights respected too. But we want to be blessed by God, and the nations that bless Israel will be blessed. And that's why you hear often that we need to stand with Israel, because scriptures tell us that those that stand with Israel will be blessed. Verse 4, it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set up from Haran. And he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that had accumulated, and the people that had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the sites of the great tree Moreb and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went out toward the hills of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued to Negev. And that's just the openings there. And what I want to point out there, Abraham wasn't a unique individual. And I say this quite often. We sometimes elevate biblical characters as subhuman or above human strength. He was an individual that was living his life. He was a wealthy individual. He was living his life and enjoying his times, and God chose him. And it's interesting how God, throughout the scriptures, he has chosen people to do different tasks. You know, he chose Joseph in the Old Testament to be there to feed the famine and to take care of the people of Israel when famine came throughout the world. Noah was tasked with building the ark and saving his family and rebooting civilization. But they were chosen, and to this day, I really believe that we understand that God still chooses people to do certain things. The call of God has not changed, and when God has called you to do something, God has given you a mandate to do something, that it's a privilege and honor, but in that, there are going to be some testings to see where you go with that. And Abraham was told that he would have a child. Now, he's 75 years old. You have to understand, they lived a lot longer back then. I don't know, at 75 years old, if somebody told me that Dawn was expecting a baby, I would not be happy. In fact, be honest with you, we love our grandkids. We love them when they go home just as much as when they come over. We don't have, you know, I've learned, so I used to think my parents were just jittery around my kids when they were younger. I get it now. It's when the grandkids go home. Like last Sunday, we were over at their house for the Super Bowl. We stayed until halftime. We got home. We got inside. And before I turned the TV on to watch the second half, I told Don, I said, quiet. That sounds good. It just sounds so nice. And our cats don't make any noises. That's pretty good. But Abraham obviously was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish nation, which, by the way, off the subject, will be where the Messiah comes from and where Jesus Christ comes from through that lineage there to be the Savior of the world. So all this has a bigger picture, for the global bigger picture. But Abraham was a normal individual, and so God called him. And it's interesting, God called him to go a place. He didn't tell him where he was going. If you read further in the scripture, you'll find that he left and he was directed by God. But God did not say, I want you to go here and here and build this nation. God led him point by point without him knowing where to go. And that is a true test of faith. It's easy to go somewhere and do something when you know the end result. It's easy to be able to say, I'm a person of faith, when you know how it all works out. But true faith is doing something and listening to God and following God when you have no clue where he's taking you and what it's going to be and what you're going to do. That's why I respect missionaries so much. Missionaries who commit to go to foreign lands to be missionaries, they get out there, and when they visit churches to raise support, and somebody says, so what's your plans there? And they have their plans, but they don't know until they get there. They don't know what hostility in this modern day they're going to find. They don't know if they're going to succeed. They don't know if they're going to be people receptive. They don't know if the language barrier or the culture barrier is going to be a problem. And I've always respected missionaries that go out throughout the world because the unknown of it, and that takes true, incredibly great faith. This church was started with faith. Some 18 years ago, come April Fool's Day, that's when we started, we stepped out by faith, we went over to the Zolkas house, we met in their basement. It's not a basement like you think about it, it's a very nice basement. Someday when they retire and go south, I hope they sell me that house for a loss, and so that I can enjoy the 12 acres of property in the mountains of Summers. But the thing about it, it was all a step of faith. I remember the scariness of it. Tony and I began the church together with our wives, and I remember I looked at my statement for Social Security. This is funny, okay? I signed up. I'm online now because I'm calculating things for, you know, down the road here. And I look at the year we started the church. My total income that year was $4,700. But that doesn't help when it comes to my final Social Security. But I remember the fact of that it was all a step of faith. And God has blessed that. And we are where we are now. And we may be going through another door of opportunity. But you don't know. You don't know what's ahead. Somebody may ask me, if we go into this new building, you know, I believe we will succeed. I believe we will grow. I think for the energy we have and the love we have for God and the love we have for each other in our community, I can't see us but grow, especially when we're operating there on a seven-day basis, where we have opportunity to have ministries and training and teaching and opportunities for community. But we don't know. We don't know. We look at the building, it looks great. We may get in there 6 months later and something, you know, starts leaking through the roof and we got expensive. We don't know. But the fun part of it is that when God puts you through those times, he's going to bless in the end result. And how he's going to do that, you may not know. Abraham stepped out. He moved his family. He had his wife. He had his nephew. And they traveled with all their folks to a place. And they left relationships probably. They probably left some things back. And they went and he pitched a tent, which is another interesting thing because I truly believe where he came from, because Abraham is recorded being one of the wealthiest men of the time. Obviously, he's in a situation where he probably had a good setup for his home and living, and now he's pitching a tent. So he went from probably the appearance of the great person in society, the well-to-do, to being in a place living in a tent, trusting that God had a plan for him. And that's what I talk about when he's talking about being faithful in good times and bad times. Well, there are a lot of other challenges he went through. He had the story with Lot, wanted his own place. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not the one we're going to cover today. You know that he lost faith in the fact that he went from 74 years old or whatever to 90-some years old, waiting for a child. It never came, and so he jumped the gun, and he decided, well, Sarah's not able to become expecting with a child, so the maidservant, the handmaiden, you know, that I will have relationships there, and I will have a child there. And he had a child, Ishmael. Of course, they made contentions between, obviously, Sarah and this handmaiden, which you could probably understand. And, of course, Sarah then has a child, and that child is Isaac, and that was a child. And God basically said, you jumped the gun. You should have trusted me. You don't understand my timing. It's not your timing. I promise you something. It will happen, but not because you push it forward, because you wait on me. And, obviously, the tension between those two families where Abraham had to cast Ishmael and his family out, and they went on their own and divided two nations, and that's where we have the conflict even today. Isaac then was that chosen son, and so we find that God wanted to do one more test when it comes to Abraham's faith. And it was one of those tests that is hard to comprehend unless you get the whole story behind it and you understand it. But it's a story about how that God told Abraham, I want you to take your son to the certain place, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. Now, I have three children. I have one boy. And I can't imagine when my son was 12 years old or whatever, that being commission given to me. And I don't think God speaks that way today. And when you see the story, it's a wonderful story. But it was a test of his faith. And the question about Abraham's story and many stories in the scripture is when you are given a mandate, a call, a commission, and God is leading you, it's not going to be flowing with everything beautifully. God's going to see the makeup of you, and God's going to use you as a testimony to other people. And God wants you to know that even in the most severe times, will you be faithful and trust me? And this is a story we're going to read now in Genesis chapter number 22 in verses 1 through 19. Genesis chapter number 22, verses 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering in the mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for a burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." I like how he says that. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Kind of gives you an idea that, hey, and I'm going to share what I think his thoughts was. I think his thought was that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would resurrect him immediately. He had faith enough in God that no matter what's happened, him and the boy are coming back. He trusted God, even though it sounded like a very hard request. Although it sounded like something unusual, which it was, something outrageous, which it was, he trusted God so much that he knew all would be okay. And that's an interesting thing that we need to learn in our own lives. He says, "We will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knives. He gave his son the tools in which he would be sacrificed with. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went up together. And when they reached the place God had told about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here am I," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God," and that word fear in the Hebrew, you revere God. It's a reverence word. It's not the word we get from phobia or fear or scared. "That you reverence God because you have not withheld me, your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thickets he saw a ram caught in the thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day he said, "On the mountain of the Lord it was provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declare the Lord, that because you have done this, you will not have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make you and your dependents as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. And your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together to Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So it's an interesting story. Now, when I read stories like this, there's always, especially when folks look at this, they think this is a weird story, and forgive me, it's kind of weird of God to do this kind of stuff. There are a lot of times when I've shared stories and people say, that just sounds like God was kind of messing with people. Or when Ace of Israel was in battles and talks about when the enemy was killed, they say that God's kind of harsh or whatever. And in all reality, the stories many times, if you read through and understand the whole thing, there's a shining example of God's grace and love. But at the same time, remember, God created mankind to have fellowship. But he never created us to be clones or to be just robots. He wanted to know that we choose him and we revere him and we have faith in him. In fact, the biggest thing that God looks for, and we talk about he looks for worship and he works for those things, you know, he looks for different attributes of the Christian body and the Christian people. But in all reality, what he wants to know, do you trust me to follow what I want you to do? And do you trust the fact that whatever it is will be for good? And if you study the scriptures throughout the scriptures, you will find story after story when those that are God's people, we're talking about the children of Israel, the Christian body today, that when God gives us a test, when God gives us something to do, he wants to know, can I trust you? Is it something that I know you will follow through? Well, Abraham was taken up there with his son. He bound his son's hands, and you've got to imagine the emotions he was going through. But it's interesting, he told the servants, we'll be right back. So he knew, he had confidence that no matter what happens, it's all going to work out because God is in this. He lays his son on the wood. He prepares the wood for the offering. And he begins to take his knife. And right before he takes his son, an angel comes and says, Abraham, don't do it. And actually in the scripture it says, for God himself will provide a lamb, which is a prophetic reference, by the way, to Jesus Christ later on. If you remember in John chapter 1, when Jesus was coming to be baptized and John the Baptist saw him, he says, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Once again, this has a prophetic message that God will give his only son. He will provide the lamb, himself the lamb. And it's prophecy there, and that's another subject matter there. But it's a wonderful picture of the fact that God was trying to show us that God was going to send his only son to die for us. Right at that time, there was a ram in the thickets. It's interesting that all of a sudden it showed up. So Abraham took that lamb, or that ram, and sacrificed that ram to God in honor of him. And the story ends with him and his boy going back to their servants and heading out. But it was a test of faith, the most outrageous test of faith. And I don't believe that God's, somebody came to me today and said, God's telling me I ought to offer my son. Well, if your son's that irritating, maybe, okay? I've raised three kids. There are times I, you know, said, I remember when my kids, you know, were in their inter-adult age, I said, I've decided I don't want children anymore, you know? When they got to be teenagers, and some of you know my philosophy of teenagers, okay, is that when they turn 13 years old, is that you build a wooden box and you put them inside and you nail it shut and you drill holes for air. And when they turn 18, you fill in all the holes. After you're raising three kids, that 17 and 18, oh my goodness and stuff. But in all reality, it's a tremendous thing he was asking for, but it was a test of faith. And I tell folks all the time, some believe these stories as being literal, some believe they're not, but I've told you before the principle of theology, if a story has actual names, it's an actual story. If it's a story where it doesn't have an actual name, it could be a parable, which means it's a story-based allegory. But these are named people, Abraham, Isaac, and there's great history with them, but it was a test of faith. And I really believe that there are lessons that we can learn from Abraham, and I want to share those with you right now. They're going to be on the screen. Lessons that we can learn from Abraham. Number one, God's promises can be conditional and unconditional. And this is a theological point. In the scriptures, there are unconditional promises. For instance, after the flood and the ark and Noah began to repopulate the world, there was a promise made to Noah and to the world that God would never destroy the earth again with water. It's in the scriptures. So that's unconditional, which means nothing that has to happen. Nothing we do can make that happen or not. That's unconditional. Salvation. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we accept him as our personal Savior, we are saved. And then it becomes unconditional, which means nothing we can do can void that out. God does not condone us a sin. In the book of Romans, the first five chapters, it talks about these things that, you know, if we're saved, but we sin, do we lose our salvation? And it's impeccably made clear we don't. And so, but it comes unconditional. But then there are conditional promises in the scriptures. You know, whatever you shall sow, you shall also reap. The one we talk about many times, give and it will be given unto you. And I tell folks all the time, if you want to have the God to bless your finances and be on your side of your finances. He said, the only principle he said, a lot of other financial principles in the Old Testament, my wife and I live by and others live by, but one of it is, give and it will be given unto you. Basically, the way to gain in life, to be able to be taken care of by God financially, is to be faithful in giving. And that's just a principle that's conditional. And I've seen people that struggle, and what happens is there's a condition there. But if we meet the condition, God has promised this will be the result. In here, we have a situation to where this is an unconditional promise. That God says to Abraham, through you, I will build a great nation beyond the stars in the skies, beyond the numbers of the grain of sands. And that is unconditional. And if whoever blesses them, I will bless them. Whoever blesses Israel, I will bless them. That is unconditional. The bottom line is that God says set these things in motion. So some of the promises in the scriptures are conditional and some are unconditional. Secondly, God promises can sometimes come only through faithfulness. People want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. But although we don't lose our salvation, we don't lose the love of God, God has placed parameters for us to conduct ourselves so that we see the riches and the blessings of God. And faithfulness and obedience are the two biggest things that God looks for in our life. I've never seen anybody who is faithful to God, in fact, he even says it in scriptures, I've never seen my faithful go without food or begging bread. God has said this. Faithfulness is a big part of it. And God's promises can sometimes only come through being faithful. Third of all, God's promises are sometimes broken into steps he reveals as we walk by faith. You know, I like to say when God wants us to do something, it's interesting, even about this building and stuff here, I like to have God give me this vision, what a year from now looks like. It'd probably take my blood pressure way down right now. But many times, and I believe this more often than not, God breaks into steps the promises and the blessings he's going to do, and he reveals them in steps as we walk by faith. And why is that? Because God knows us. God knows that when we don't have the cares and we're not having concerns, many times we take God and things for granted. I love people say, you know, if I ever hit the Powerball or the lottery, then I'm going to be do this and do this and this. And here's the thing. I would rather have folks that didn't win that just be faithful and be blessed by God. It's easy to say when you inherit or you have this or whatever, but another thing is to be able to say, I can do what I can do with God has blessed me, and I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to wait for God to bless me. But many times it comes through steps. In fact, the more times I believe that people step out by faith in whatever avenue it is, and they're trusting God's leadership, God will show them a little more light of themselves. God will show them a little bit more blessings. It may not be the final result, but God says, I want to show you that what you just did is part of the journey that I'm leading you through. God's promises are sometimes broken into steps that he reveals as we walk by faith. And if you don't walk by faith, you may be missing something great ahead. And faith is an interesting thing because this means trusting God. It can be for a new job. It could be for a location change. It could be for an educational thing. It could be for finances. It could be for your ministry in church. Whatever it is, that God wants us to take one step at a time and let him reveal himself. I look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. God told him at the beginning, I want you to take your son and sacrifice him. Now, God, in his infinite knowledge, he knew he wasn't going to do that. But he says, I want for the information you have right now, you're going to sacrifice your son. So Abraham got the wood, he had his boy carry the wood and the knife. They went to the place, told the servants to wait, he went up there, and the boy says, so we got the wood, we got the knife, we got all this, where's the sacrifice? And he says, God himself will provide a sacrifice. And then he bounds his hands, and he lays them on there. He has not been revealed that this is going to stop. Now, he was going to go through with this sacrifice. He had faith that God had a plan. He trusted God so much that no matter what, this is going to work out. And God stopped him at the last moment to tell him, I see that you are willing to do this. And God stopped and provided a ram to be sacrificed. Now, obviously, I don't know that we're going to see those kind of experiences today, but they're great lessons. And whether you believe the story, a story of fact, but it's the thing to where we just know that God provides, and sometimes, and this can be irritating, it's not to the last moment. It's not until the last moment that God comes through. And that frustrates me, because sometimes it can be the last moment, the last situation, the last second, and all of a sudden God comes through, but you kind of say to God, you know, I'd been a lot happier if you came through 2 weeks ago. It'd be a lot nicer if everything came in for this new building now. I mean, I could probably sleep better. But I know it's a test of faith. It's a test of trusting God. And I do see benchmarks through this. I do see things that God is doing, and I see the steps. And although humanly I'm sometimes frustrated and exhausted, but the thing about it is I'm looking forward to, and I just have the strange feeling that we're going to walk into a closing, and we're not sure until the day before everything's set to go. And I'm going to walk in and walk out, and I'm going to say, thank you, God. I got a little older now. I feel a little older, but I'm looking forward to the first time one of our young ladies or gentlemen here grow up, get engaged, and I'm looking forward to the first church wedding in their church. And some of you have young kids, so hopefully it's a long time off. We told Juliana that she can get married when she's 30, so she's got 15 years to go. But the thing about it is that it steps, and God reveals himself as we walk by faith. The next one, God sometimes tests our faith by taking us out of our own comfort zone. Here you got Abraham living in his great area, doing well, wealthy, his family's doing good and stuff, and God says, I want you to get up and travel to a place. I'm not telling you where you're going. I'll just give you directions as you go. If you study the scripture, you'll find that God just took him where he's going. And didn't tell him where he was going until he got there. And when he got there, didn't tell him exactly what he was going to do. In fact, he pitched a tent, so he thought it was a temporary dwelling. God basically took him out of his comfort zone, but the results are a great nation, and the results are the Savior came through that lineage. And sometimes God says, the test of faith is you doing something you didn't think you could. You stepping out and attacking something or achieving something or whatever it is that makes you somewhat uncomfortable. And I'll be honest with you, I've learned one thing. I don't think it's really true faith until it makes you a little uncomfortable. Faith is that way. When you trust God enough to say, this is not my normal frame of mind or thoughts or the way I would do it, this is not comfortable, but I'm going to do it anyways. Years ago, a church I pastored in Michigan, we had a young lady named Angie Black, and Angie is been here, sung a couple of times, like our fifth year anniversary. But Angie was a very shy lady. Her and her husband, wonderful people, it had a couple of boys, but she never sang. So she finally auditioned for the choir. My younger brother was the choir director, and my younger brother's a musician, leads choir today in a church in D.C., my other brother. And he found out she had a beautiful voice, but she was shy about it. And she never sang before in public. But he got her in the choir, a couple years later, got her solo parts and stuff, and it was totally out of her comfort zone because she was shy and did not like being in front of people. And they became very close friends to us, and she used to say, when I get ready to sing, I am perspiring so much. I am so nervous and stuff. She stepped out of her comfort zone, stepped out by faith, and within 10 years, she was recording an album in Nashville. She was traveling, singing, one of the best voice I've ever heard in my life. She sang for us our fifth year anniversary. And to me, all because my younger brother said, you got a voice. Step out of your comfort zone. And then she began to be used for God. And sometimes you don't know what you can do until you step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your comfort zone. The next one, I've got three more here. God will always provide an opportunity to fulfill his promises. If you step out by faith and you're trusting God, God will always provide the opportunity. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. The next one, sometimes there is a wandering and waiting period of time. And I've learned this in everything I've done in my life, in ministry or outside ministry. It's not just do it, it comes about. It's always a wandering and waiting period. And here's the thing that God is looking at. What do you do when you're wandering and waiting? See, we started the church 18 years ago. We haven't been really wandering and waiting. We've been ministering, doing the job. But waiting for our own building, while we're waiting and wandering, what did we do? We tried our best to be faithful to God in the little things and what we can do, waiting for the opportunity to one day have the ability to minister in a building during the nights each week, on Saturdays, things that we can do. The creativity and the opportunity is endless. And so sometimes there's a wandering and waiting period of time, and what you do during that time in your personal life, in your ministry life, in whatever it is, that's what God is examining and God is looking at. And then sometimes we receive the promise we have to be willing to sacrifice something. Sometimes there is a wandering and waiting period for God, but sometimes to receive the promise, we have to have a willingness to sacrifice something. And I will truly say this, is I really believe that God looks at sacrifice. And when I believe in something, I'm willing to sacrifice. To me is, I think that we look at it on the medical scale, and you see somebody who needs a kidney and somebody who's a match. And sometimes to be a blessing, there has to be a sacrifice. You got to be willing to give of yourself. You have to be willing to say, this may cost me. In fact, as Christians, the greatest time to experience God and what he's going to do in the future is at times when we step out of our comfort zone and willing to sacrifice, willing to give our time, energy to do those things. People that come here at 7, 7:15, 7:30 in the morning and sacrifice their time to set up and take down afterward, but the setup is a lot bigger task here. Sometimes things don't work. But because of that, there have been people that have come to know Jesus Christ. There have been people here that have been blessed. There's been families that have helped. There have been teenagers encouraged. Children loving their church because you did these things and you sacrificed your time and energy. And I've known times where people have got off work, gone to bed late, and got up. Or I know some have got off work to come here to help out in the morning and didn't sleep until after church. Sometimes you receive the promise and the blessings and see what God's going to do. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. And I think that Abraham can look back and see the nation that he and his wife began, and his son Isaac, and you look at all of that, and all the promises for the great nation and the land and all that there is because he was willing to sacrifice. And here's the thing about sacrifice, and I truly believe this, just from this is my experience. When we sacrifice, it's not a permanent loss. For instance, if you sacrifice to do something when it comes to church or ministry, I believe that God honors that and blesses that for the future. Nobody likes to talk about money. I'll be honest, I'm out of my comfort zone great the last few months because I've been talking about raising this money. But as your pastor and stuff, it's my role to see this dream come forth and to motivate and stuff. As you know, I'm not big, but I do truly believe this. And I would not ask you to do something we're not doing. And I really believe that the sacrifice will be the reward in itself, but I also believe that down the road, when our kids and grandkids and stuff get to flourish in their own place and stuff, the sacrifice will be the blessing seen in their lives. And we that are older, we owe it to the next generation to provide for them a foundation, a steady foundation. Because some of us here, the ministry will go on. You know, New England ministry is really aren't respected to it's 200 years old or 100 years old. But I do believe that the greatest days are after I'm gone, and some of you are gone because it's always that way. I truly believe that. My brother, who just retired 3 weeks ago, their building will be open in June. If you see it on social media, it's a beautiful building. We'll see about 1,800 people, $22 million. But instead of waiting until the building was dedicated to retire, he decided to retire now. So that way the new pastor, whoever they choose, someone young, energetic, will take it to the next level. He did not want to be in the way of the next stage. And he knew he was going to retire. He didn't want to have the dedication and then announce his retirement after and take the winds out of it. Now, I'm not going anywhere for quite a while, but I'm telling you this, is that was his heartbeat. He knew that that church can run 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people with the next generation leading it. And I think we have to be here for the next generation behind us. I remember when I left the church in Michigan, and some of you know the story. Somebody, by the way, if you've been around, you've heard some of the stories. If you're new, these are great stories. The rest of you will like to hang on. But I remember I was pastoring my home church, and there was this young kid, actually was the same age as my daughter, Angela. And his father was one of the deacons, trustees of the church, and we would have meetings sometimes after Sunday to go over things. And I remember walking to my office, and deacons were sitting in all different chairs, and behind my desk was this boy. He had probably about 11 years old, and he had his feet up on my desk, and he says, "One day all this is going to be mine." And I looked at leaky ceilings and stuff. "You sure you want this?" But I remember when Ryan said that, "One day this is all going to be mine," I said, "Get your feet off my desk. Go, go." And so, wonderful young man. He's 41 years old right now, and he's been the pastor of that church for about 14 years. And I think to myself, is, I'm so glad we laid a foundation, and he's taken that church's places I can never do. And to me, I love seeing the promises come through the next generation. Let me give you the walkaway. We'll be done here. The walkaway is this. If you want to see the revelation of God's promises, you have to be able to follow his purpose, his path, and his plan. And that's that conditional promises. God says, do this, and I will do this. And if you want to see the revelation, you want to see the things reveal, you want to see what God can do, then you've got to say, God, I'm partnering with you. I'm with this all the way here. I'll follow your purpose, your path, and your plans. That works church-wide, but that works with your own personal life. That works with your own personal relationships. If you want to see God's promises, then follow his principles, whether it be for your marriage, whether it be for raising kids, whatever it's going to be. There are scriptures and there are principles and scriptures about every facet of our lives. You want to know how to raise children? Just talk about that. You want to know how to have a good relationship? You want to know how to have friends and the boundaries of friends and how to be friends and how to handle conflict? It's all in the scriptures. You know, today, if you have a problem with a friend, what do most folks do? They go on social media and blast them. The Bible says if you have a problem with a friend, you go to them privately so to try to help heal the friendship. If more people took their problems and conflicts to their friends and the person and never announced it, there'd be a lot more harmony in the world. But there's principles in scriptures. And if you want to see God reveal healthy relationships and good friendships and good marriages and good families and good church, you got to follow his purpose, his path, and his plans. And when we do that, we pass those tests, we are faithful to those things there, then we will see some great blessings in what God could truly do in our lives, our church, and the world at large. So that's the lesson for the day. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're new with us, this is just a time to reflect upon what we talked about. I've learned this over the years, that everything a pastor will teach and talk on Sunday morning has a different relevancy for each person sitting. Everybody came in this room this morning with a story. Some of you had a great week. Some of you had some trials and tribulations. Some of you have gone through some relationship issues. Some of you are dealing with some tension. Some of you are dealing with whatever you may be dealing with. Everybody listens to a message, a Sunday talk, a sermon, however you want to phrase it, in a different realm of how they hear it. One thing in this might stuck out more to something else in you. We try to make our messages so practical based upon biblical truth and theology, but we want to make them so practical so that whatever you're going through, there's a relevancy to maybe something here in your life. Maybe you're going through the test right now and you didn't really realize that it is a test. Maybe you just thought that it was something you were suffering through, or the challenges may be kind of rough, but you now realize that this is a test of my faith. Maybe you're going through something here today about relationships or whatever it may be, and now you understand more about that. Maybe you've been dealing with the prayer about sacrificing and giving of your time and energy and things to God's work, and you realize this is a test of your faith. Whatever it may be, everybody here gains from a message differently. And so whatever God's talking to you about in your life today, whatever that still small voice, and I've learned this a long time ago, right now on your mind is something you're thinking about, you're contemplating, you're analyzing, but there's that thought about how this message might be relevant to you. My advice to you is take that one thing and talk to God about it. Say, God, reveal to me what I should be doing in this situation. And when you do that, that revelation will come, and you'll be able to understand more. I've learned in my life that God, I've spent my life being uncomfortable. I spent my life always thinking that it'd be nice not to have any responsibilities, worries, or whatever. I lived my life ministry always uncomfortable, always antsy, always wondering. And it took me years to realize that's exactly how God wants me to be. He wants me, if I'm going to lead you to trust him when you don't know what's happening, then I got to go through the same emotions that you're going through. And so the uneasiness, the questioning at time, the uncomfortableness, the comfort zone breaking, whatever it is, it's because God is using us to do something, but he needs us to trust him. And when you got everything handed to you, you don't need a lot of faith. But I have found this, when you're faithful, God has promised to come through for each and every individual. Faithful in good times and bad times. Father, we thank you so much for the lessons today, the scriptures we've read, and for the people here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just use this lesson today for however you need it to be used in each person's life. We trust you to guide their hearts and my hearts, Lord. We thank you for biblical stories. Some of them are hard to read and fully understand how that you could lead somebody up to take their son to sacrifice. And sometimes in the realm of the world, people question God because of all these stories. But God, we know that each story has a revelation and a principle. And it comes down to as we follow you and are faithful, you will bless. I pray, Lord, you bless our church and our endeavors for the future. In Christ's name, amen.